everybody, this is Justin Case, and welcome to another episode of Case in Point, episode 53. I've got Ponch calling in. We're going to do this old school Larry King style, and
yeah, man,
it's going to be great. So Ponch is having a little bit of a connection issue, but we're going to work through that the best we can, and we'll just let her rip from there. So how's everything going, Ponch?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. The world's falling apart, but not my world, so.
Well, I think that, yeah, I'm not going to go into that because that's not the form of this podcast, but I will say that I think that people need to just shut up and and enjoy their life the best they can and quit being negative. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. And
Yeah, man.
We bring camaraderie, positivity, and proactivity with this podcast, folks. I'm a busy man, and I like to stay busy, and I have my projects, and it just so happens they happen to be at my house, so I don't go anywhere anyway, so I'm in pretty good shape. All right. So, that being said, we're going to jump into some news, toy-wise, and anything else that gets thrown in our minds as we're doing this on this fine Saturday. And so, I know, Ponch, you had sent me something on Twitter about a new Dragon Ball SH Figuarts, however you say it. It's got the what do you call that giant ape that stares at when the Saiyan with a tail stares at the moon? What's the name for that?
I think they call it Great Apes.
Not to be confused with Grape Ape. Grape Ape. And if, folks, if you don't know what that is, go Google it yourself, all right? So anyway, it looks pretty good from what I saw. It's got a good articulation. I would imagine with a piece of that quality, it's going to come with a pretty hefty price tag.
It is comparable to the standard line, but for the size, I think it's going to be retailing for like $165.
Okay, well, how big is this thing going to be?
About 12 inches, I think. So it's pretty beefy.
You know, with that in mind, with that kind of scale, and I saw the detail on it, I'm sure it looks a lot better in person. I think that's a pretty sweet deal. And, I'm one to talk because I got a Snake Mountain on order, you know? Nice $700, $800 piece, depending on shipping.
Dude, at this rate, it's going to be it's going to be an urban legend by the time it comes out.
Yeah, well, apparently it's already been... They're actually ready to ship, but because of the ongoing fiasco in China, they have not exactly been shipped yet. So the last I had heard was June on that. Okay. But, you know, hey, you throw the grass up in the air, the wind blows it whatever direction, right? So just I'm not getting my hopes up. Now, the nice thing is, like I've said before, I only put down a $150 deposit, so Super 7 does not have my money. Thank you.
That's good.
Not there's anything wrong with Super 7, but I'm just saying. And if I sound a little distant, I am looking for my pop filter for this microphone. So, Ponch, regale us on some of the Dragon Ball Z figures you have so far in the line while I look for this pop filter.
All right. Just a little bit more about the Great Ape Vegeta. Yeah, it's so the Great Ape figure is based on Vegeta, even because he's got the Saiyan armor set up. But what's cool is that there's some die-cast parts to help it stand up because, you know, I don't know how heavy this thing is going to be, but I'm assuming it's going to be pretty beefy. So you've got some die-cast parts in the feet and the chest or whatever, just kind of like balance everything out. And then some of the articulation joints are, I don't know if they're stronger or more stiff, but they're retooled to, again, deal with the extra weight from the figure. So that's cool. And I'm trying to think. I mean, they've announced a ton. Like, they've been announcing figures since the beginning of the year, but they won't. A lot of them won't be released until, I don't know, mid to late this year. For a while, they've been focusing on the old school Dragon Ball cartoon where Goku was a little kid. And so they've announced an alternate version of Bulma where the first release she had like this half cargo pant set up, and now second variation, well, not variation, but the second version is going to be her in that the pink dress. And then they also announced this her capsule motorcycle where it's all white. There's a dome over it, kind of like the shoot, I can't remember the G.I. Joe vehicle that reminds me of. So it's a Cobra.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. It would be the those those pods that the Cobra guys would fly around. Those pods with the guns on them, right?
It's like a pteropod, or I'm.
We'll just call them attack pods. We'll just call them attack pods. And I'm sure there's G.I. Joe fans out there that are bawling their fist in the air and wanting to, if they listen to this podcast, want to poke our eyes out. But that's fine. And you know what? Keep going, Ponch, because I actually have those toys, and I'll go find the right name.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. So yeah, there's a new, yeah, they announced the capsule motorcycle for Bulma, and it also comes with like a static Kid Goku, where he's got like this scared expression. He's gonna be holding on to Bulma behind her and stuff. Oh, and also with the Great Ape Vegeta figure, there's gonna be a static Yajirobe figure, where he's in this position where it looks like he's cutting off the tail, and you also have two tail versions where you've got an intact version for Vegeta or the Great Ape Vegeta, and then like a cut off version just to, so you can simulate all of your Dragon Ball Z scenes and stuff. Also, I don't know the names, but also coming from the Dragon Ball cartoon, I can't remember his name. He had like a pinkish gi on. He's got like a big mustache and a ponytail. I think he was one of the main villains in the cartoon. So I apologize if I can't think of the name offhand, but he's supposed to be coming out soon.
One of the Kai? Is it one of the Kai, Ponch?
No. No, I think he's.
Is it post GT?
No. This is the Dragon Ball cartoon. You know, I'll look.
Yeah,
it up.
Yeah, but the thing is that at least in the States here, we're always like 15 years behind Japan as far as Dragon Ball is concerned, and you know that Dragon Ball Z at least was syndicated in the late 1990s here, and when it had already been out for 10-12 years in Japan, so. I originally started watching Dragon Ball Z on a WPIX well before it made it on Cartoon Network or wherever it was. But at any rate, the thing is that those toys, you know, it's one of those lines where I'd have to be in from the start, and I wouldn't feel right just jumping in because it's really not my main platform. I had some of the older Dragon Ball toys. A lot of them I've sold off because, you know, it's really, I like the cartoon a lot, but my enthusiasm for it's kind of dropped off when, after the mid-2000s, I was like, I've had these around for a while, and I've still got a bunch. I still have all the ones I bought from KB Toys, and they're still open 17 years ago. I'll probably, and those are on my wall, but I like them, so they're there for now. But I actually sold off a lot of my GT stuff. I had the Omega Shenron in package. And that was a fiasco, but that's a pretty rare item. But I really don't care. I don't care. And I thought about jumping in on this line, but it's just not. I'm kind of too late. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're someone who, like, if you're a comic book fan or something and you're like, I want to go back and get these. Well, yeah, now they're all quintuple what the cover price was, and you're just wasting your time. Mm-hmm. And so,
well,
you know.
So that was correct as far as like buying the older figures.
Are they reissuing them updated or something?
Not all of them, but a lot of the more popular, like a lot of the Goku figures, they've been reissuing those because I'd say 2 or 3 years ago they started retooling the articulation of the figures. So, like for example, like. Wow, a long time ago they released Super Saiyan 3 Goku. He's the one that's got like the super long hair.
Right.
So the re-release has him like with the retooled articulation, so it's a much better figure. And because, and they've done that for a lot of like a lot of the other, like they've done that a lot for Goku figures, Vegeta. I think those are two characters that they've done that the most, where they've reissued with new tooling. And because of that, a lot of those figures, well, some of those figures that were in the hundreds, now they've dropped down to like maybe 100, or even like down to where they were when they first released. But there are some figures that are still rare, and I don't think they're gonna re-release them. Like there's Android 17 and 18, you know, the brother sister team. I don't think they're gonna be re-released. So those two are pretty, I'd say right now they're some of the more rare figures. You know, besides the event exclusive figures, which, you know, I won't even get into those, but this is more of the like retail releases. So yeah, a lot of those figures, they've been re-released, and you know, before when they were like super expensive, now they're a lot cheaper now. Or in the case of like there's a Trunks figure and a Perfect Cell figure, where they re-released they call it a premium color job, or premium color version, where it's basically it's just a paint variation. Like either it's matching, more accurately matching the colors in the anime or the manga, whatever it is. But I've also noticed too, within the past, I'd say two years, before they would release figures in waves, where like one wave they would release like two or three figures, but now it seems like they've stretched out the release windows, where it seems like now they're coming out every month. Yeah, it's, I mean, I totally understand where you come from, where, you know, there's just so many characters, so many toys on the line, where it's almost like there's almost not even worth getting into. But at the same time, there's, I think they're starting to realize, Bandai's starting to realize that a lot of people really want to collect a lot of the obscure characters instead of just like the 18th Goku figure. So like going back to like that character I was trying to figure out, he's from the original Dragon Ball cartoon, and you may not know this guy unless you're like a fan of the cartoon, but his name is Tao Pai Pai, and he was one of the big enemies, one of the big bads in the cartoon. So he's coming out. And another character from the original cartoon, his name's Jackie Chun, where he's wearing like a traditional Chinese outfit. I don't even know what it's called, or if it has a name. So yeah, it seems like with those guys, they're also releasing a few characters from the Dragon Ball Super line, which is the most recent one. And I won't get into that because, you know, unless you watch that, you may not know the names. But what's awesome is, I think I've mentioned this in previous podcast episodes, but they finally officially revealed that they're going to be releasing Captain Ginyu. And okay, what's awesome about that is that
I'd be interested in the whole Ginyu Force, because they were probably my favorites.
Well, get this. So I believe I first saw the reveal, I think they first revealed it in a show last year, soon after New York Comic Con, called Anime NYC. And Bandai had a booth where they had, you know, a bunch of the Gundam kits and also some Dragon Ball Z figures. They had this really cool Dragon Ball scavenger hunt, where they gave you like a postcard, and you have to go to different vendors to get like stamps. And if you get all the stamps, you go back to the Bandai booth and you get like, you know, free giveaway or whatever.
Oh, that's cool. I'd love to do that. It'd be so much fun. Because I know that they used to do that at Lego events at stores. Toys R Us would do it, and Target also does it. And give you a free Lego set. You know, it's for kids, you know, but it's still fun, you know, it gives you something to do, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's not, you know, you don't have to worry about standing in line for exclusive all day,
you know, so you actually can walk around. Yeah, and that's the thing that it really just burns my cork and chaps my rear end is I don't like people being fussy and competitive over a stupid rare item. And that's the thing that for me is a big turnoff. And you know, I'm an avid collector of toys. I've tailed off. You know, I have what I have, but I've sold a lot off too, because it's like I'm one of those people. It's like if I get sick of something, I'll get rid of it. And that's the thing is, and I sell my stuff for a fair price. I don't gouge people. And mm-hmm. and it's like if I make what I paid for it, fine. If I take, you know, if I make a little extra, if I make extra, that's gravy, you know. But I'm one of those people. I've evolved into a get rid of it if you're sick of it. And so, but there's people that don't get rid of anything, and they have to have it. They just have to have it, and they stand in line at these conventions, and they're turds. And then they'll buy five, unless there's a limit put on them. They'll buy one for them, one to display, one in the box, and then three more to sell or for whatever, because they just hoard. And they're these. It's a mental state they have. And I almost sound like Bruce Pritchard when I said it. Let me make a little statement here. You know? But anyway, no, but that's the thing is I don't like those kind of people. And one thing that's always mystified me is when you get a company like Mattel who came out with those Masters of the Universe Origins figures, which have yet to reach retail. But the last, it was San Diego Comic Con was at 19. They came out with the first, it was a two-pack with Prince Adam in the blue robe, and then He-Man with, like, swappable heads, right? And one of them was the vintage-looking head, and then there was a more artistic version that you could put on there. And those sets are so price gouged at this point. There weren't any that were available to buy. I didn't really care, nor I don't really care now either at the time, because I'm not totally invested in them. When they reach retail, I'll get them. You know, I've been getting those WWE Universe figures, which are really nice. I don't think they're selling very well on local retail stores. They sell out online, but that's because the kind of people are like the ones that stand in line at conventions and want to buy up the whole supply before anyone else has a chance to buy them. They're the kind of people that go on these websites and buy all the cases out. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, is when I went to Walmart, this is probably 3 months ago, is they had an entire display of those ring sets that come with a John Cena and a Triple H variant figure, that they had an entire Black Friday display of these, the big cubes, that sat around from November to at least early February, where they weren't selling. And they marked these things down to $20 a piece. And I bought one for my brother, one for another, and one for me, and one for my son, because he plays with his. And after that, they dropped them down to $20. That display case was gone, cardboard and all. So someone went in there and bought the whole thing. And there had to have been at least 40 or 50 rings left.
That's freaking crazy.
Yeah. So the thing is someone bought all those and it was like, yeah, I got this whole display and I got all these rings and I'm going to sell them for double. And, you know, and it's like, I understand. I like the guys on Instagram and stuff that go in and actually they're able to get these cases of unopened figures from, like, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And they actually sell them for good prices. And the reason I could say that is because they actually sell out of the stuff. And they'll say, like, hey, okay, these are $20 each. These are $30 each. Like, and they've got Spiral Zone toys that have been out of production for 30-plus years. Mm-hmm. You've got the Rambo figures that have been out of production since, like, 1987. And they have fresh cases of these things. People, these things are out there. And these guys are able to find them. I don't know how they build up this network, but it's just amazing to me. That's where the real frontier is now. Not these people that stand in line at these conventions and buy 50 copies of something to screw people over. Not the people that go online and buy all the brand new toys that are out and sell the websites out. The guys to me that are impressive to me are these guys that go and find all these case fresh toys from 20, 30 years ago. That's the real appeal for me. And
Well,
there's one guy I'll give a plug real quick because I bought stuff from him in person up at the Spokane Toy Show. Actually, the last year and a half, I've bought stuff from this guy. And his handle on, check him out on Instagram. It's Spokane Action Figures. He doesn't remember me or really remember I exist, but I'm going to plug him because, my wife bought stuff from his wife at the show and, like, brand new out of the case. And I bought some RAM. I bought that Savage Strike Headquarters in the box off of him, and he gave me a good deal on it. And check that guy out, Spokane Action Figures on Instagram. He's got some cool stuff. He had Spiral Zone stuff listed. He had the Terminator 2 Future War set, which had the Biofrost Regenerator. He had like a bunch of the figures and the vehicle. I think he had the car, and he had one of the. It's a bull looking. Skynet type bad guy that's on there from the cartoon. He's always got stuff out there. It's just amazing to me. And that for me, that's the frontier that I like. And it's a fun challenge because it's a different dynamic because you gotta follow these guys to know what they have and jump in on it. To me that's fun. And I just got three vintage Rambo pieces from a guy on eBay, and he had her best offer, and I made him an offer, and I got him for a good price, and it was fair to him. And that's for me, that's what I do. If I see a piece that's complete, I'm not gonna lowball these guys, but I'm also not gonna pay what full price. If they're willing to offer, I'll shoot them a fair offer, and I've never been refused. So the thing is that for me, that's the appeal of the hobby, and that's where I'm going with it. And a lot of these Star Wars toys and stuff, like some of the ones I've had for 10 or 15 years, I really don't care about them. They're mass produced. They're easy to find. And like I had those titanium figures, man. I sold them to a good
Oh
friend of mine because I knew
my
he'd like them. They're nice. They're
God.
nice. But I sold it to him for like $8 a piece. I mean that's, and they had the variants, the titanium variants, the all the bounty hunters, a couple of versions of Darth Vader. They're really nice, but they just don't sell, and for whatever reason. But anyway, that's my tangent. And by the way, that pod we were talking about earlier, Ponch, that Cobra pod, it's called a Cobra Flight Pod.
Ah, thank you.
So it's very simple what
I've
it
been
is.
redeemed.
Yeah.
So, before that, I want to share some excitement with that. Can you figure what I was talking about a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, so we both express those are figures that we both wanted. So, what's exciting for me is that I don't know if this is any, I'm assuming so because this was at the band that. Well, at the show I was talking about before, they had some displays like they're like maybe 2 feet square and then have like glass covering so people won't steal stuff. There were about three or four of them on their show floor booth, and they had on display figures that either were already available for purchase at the time or stuff that they had already announced but hadn't been released yet. Then there were one or two, actually two displays where they had the Great Ape Vegeta on display, and that's where I saw how huge it is and looks pretty awesome. And
I
then the
could have
Captain
swore,
Ginyu one.
Ponch, there was a term for that. There, it was a type of. I thought there was a more exotic term for the great apes that they
Oh,
call.
the Oolong?
Thank you, the Oolong. That's what it is. Okay, yeah.
Or is he the ape is more naked. Like this version has the sand armor on.
Right, because that's what Vegeta was wearing when he turned into it. But one of the things is like, remember how they got into the lore on the original cartoon, how there was a planet, like one of the planets, they were like that all the time, and or they would just they were naked, they weren't wearing any, and these guys were just running around in full ape like all the time, I thought. But my recollection of that's about 20 years now. But yeah, I mean it's cool. To me, I've always liked the mythos of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. It's cool. Anyway, no, I was thinking I could have swore I heard somewhere where the like the Ginyu Force set or the Ginyu Force figures that are come. I'm assuming they're gonna do all of them. Maybe you already said that, but the thing was that I would like to have that background where there's all those flowers when they knock, they do that group pose. It's awesome.
Yeah. See, I would like to have like a set of all five of them in one box, but
Yes.
I don't know if they're gonna do that, but
That'd
at
be
least
pretty
we're gonna
spendy, man. That'd be like $500.
hey, I would, well, I probably would consider paying for it. I don't care. I
Well,
don't know if it'd
the
be
problem with
that,
Dragon Ball
but
stuff is, from what I've noticed, at least selling to people online, is they don't want to pay for it. They don't want to pay a lot of money for it, but they're huge fans. But it tends to be, that's from my experience, the people I've dealt with, they don't want to pay. And it's like, dude, I only want this much. Why do you have to take it for $5 less? Just pay the $5.
right. I don't know. People just, some
It's a
people are
niche
fickle
market.
like
It's
that, I
not as
guess.
widespread as like Star Wars or something. So just keep in mind, you people that are getting in this to try and get rich off of it, it's not going to happen. It's a labor of love, just like a lot of other hobbies are.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah. I hope they would release a set. I don't know, but the display that had the Captain Ginyu figure on, behind him, they had cutouts, like silhouette cutouts of the rest of the Ginyu Force,
Nice.
and they were all posed in like that, you know, that pose that we were talking about, where all five of them are standing together and you know, at attention, and the flowers are in the background and stuff. So
Which is great. Yeah.
yeah, so I'm assuming since this was at their booth, hopefully maybe this is a hint of them releasing the rest of the Ginyu Force later on. And actually, what's interesting about the Captain Ginyu figure though is that they're, I don't know, there's a they're not quite bootleg, but they're not officially released. There's a hear me out though, it's interesting because they do have bootleg figure art figures made in China,
Sure.
and unless they're like horrendously made, a lot of them are actually really good substitutes for like originals, because they made these bootleg figures based off of the, like, at the time, super expensive figures, but a lot of them, they've dropped in value, so those bootlegs aren't really needed anymore. But there's another line, I think they're called the Demonical, I think. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but so they made their own Captain Ginyu figure, but because it's not officially licensed figure, they need to, like, general of the brigade group or some stupid name like
Right,
that,
something generic, yeah.
just so they can get away with selling it. But the look of the figure, well, before the official figure was announced, it actually looked really, really good. They use pretty much the same articulation as a standard line, and the box was like simulating the current that they use for the figures now. But it looked really, really good, and I'm assuming maybe Bandai caught wind of it and said, "Hey, this figure looks pretty good. How come we're not making our own?" And then maybe that's what they released. I don't know if it's that black and white, but
It
it's, to
could
me, it's
be.
too much of a coincidence that you have this really good, I'll call it a premium bootleg,
Nice, nice.
and then the official one gets announced. So,
Right.
but yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. So,
No, that'll be a nice piece in your collection. Sometime you'll have to maybe I actually need to check out your Instagram page. Maybe you've got collection or picture of these collections, if I could talk right today. I don't know if you've got them all displayed in a certain thing, a certain fashion, but
not
I
yet.
need to. I've got an Instagram for this podcast, and I need to start uploading. I'm going to be using it for action figure things, and I've got a Word Bubble program you can use, which is a lot of fun. And that's a lot of reason why I open a lot of my stuff, is because I want to use it for that purpose, to entertain people. And I think it's great. It's a lot of fun, and it's better than just having them sit around collecting dust, you know.
Right.
But I mean, the thing is that with a lot of this, I think it's important as a responsible adult to understand that, sometimes you have to let stuff go, or you have to pass up something that you'd really, really like. That's the way life works. And like I've discussed in past episodes before, is that like when they were doing Masters Classics, like trying to keep the line alive when Mattel had it, they were cashing in, like retirement certificates, and someone had posted something on the He-Man.org forums where it's like, yeah, I just cashed in 2 more CDs, and wow. And I've got my 401k residuals or something. I cashed those in, and I mean, you're talking about people that bought 30 subscriptions, and I think I can't remember what the annual commitment was. I think it was they were putting out so many figures. I think the average commitment was like, if they came out with I think the vehicles, the figures themselves, they were doing 4 figures a month. And these things were $27 as a base price, and you add shipping and tax on there, and you can't tell me that Mattel was combining shipping. That's bogus. They were not. Because if you look at what they're selling you, they were making some money off of that, and everybody knows it, right? So you take into all of that account. Let's say your average investment per year was $400. Well, times 30. So that is ridiculous, and... you know what? Sometimes you got to let stuff fail. If the interest isn't there, you let it go. You know, there were fans that did that for the Ghostbusters line that Mattel had. They had the Club Ecto-1, and they were going to make the Ecto-1 vehicle, but they didn't get enough subscriptions to make it. They never made it. And I'm like, well, that's just the way it is. But these He-Man fans are ridiculous. I mean, when you're cashing in retirement plans to keep a line going... That's pathetic.
It's like, yeah,
get a life.
This is more important than my future, you stupid idiots.
Yeah, get a life, you know? I mean, the bulk of my collection that I got from them, I didn't have kids, you know? I had the expendable income, and it's, you know, but I was selling things anyway. The hobby was paying for itself, you know? And It's like I, you know, flop, you know, kind of rotate some stuff out, you know, that way. Because you know what? If you don't do that, when's it ever going to stop? When's it ever going to end? And I know people that have said, you know what? I'm collecting this and then I'm done. And they stick to that because they have a goal in mind. You can't have it all. You know, some people think they can and then they're on hoarders. So... You know, and if you, man, for crying out loud, if you say, well, I have this, but it's in storage, if you can't show it, then what's the point of having it? You know, if you're not going to sell it down the road, right, you know, some people have it as an investment or whatever, but if you're just going to hoard it, I think you got to check yourself, you know, but that's, you know, I'm not Dr. Phil, but geez.
Yeah. I came to that, I don't know, his realization, whatever. Not that I'm a hoarder. No, not by a long shot.
I have tendencies.
But
no, just kidding. Oh. That's going to be the title of this episode. I have tendencies.
I like anyway. It. It's great. Oh goodness!
Sorry.
To answer your question, I don't know if it was rhetorical or not, but I unfortunately don't have a lot of my stuff because my living situation.
Yeah, but you've got vintage pieces, man.
Oh, some, yeah.
Rolling Thunder, everybody.
All the books they have to get. I still have a bunch of stuff of my father's house that I need to bring down with me just so I can have it here. The stuff I currently have here. I've never seen my current.
We're getting a little bit of a signal degradation going on here on your end.
How about now?
Yeah, that's better.
I gotta stay in place. Yes. So, apartment to be to be staying because the reason is. Because it sucks here, and I have to have my phone through Wi-Fi, and I would think I'm sitting directly, almost directly in front of you right now, and you think I'd have great reception or great connection? No.
Yeah, it's getting pretty spotty.
All right, so is it better now or?
It's a little bit better.
All right. How now?
It's a little better. Yeah. It was, you're almost incoherent there for a while. So.
Oh, okay. So sorry about that. So yeah, I was saying, well, that's one reason why I don't want to stay here much longer, which leads into the reason why I don't have a lot of the stuff I have here currently, why I don't have those things, you know, those pieces on display, is because to me, it doesn't make any sense to have my entire collection on display only to rebox them to move somewhere else.
Right.
So once I know I'm in a spot where I know I'm going to stay there for a long time, then I'd feel more comfortable to open everything up and also have, like, my ideal setup is to buy, I don't know the name of the display that they sell in IKEA, but it's one that collectors commonly use. It's got like four glass panes with like some sort of metal corner rods to keep all of them in place, and then there's glass shelving so you can put your stuff on, and some of the shelving also has some like small lighting so you can light your stuff up too. So ideally I'd like to have a combination of that and some bookshelves so I can have everything set up and stuff, and yeah, right. that's my plan when I do move out into another place that I know I'm gonna stay there for a while, have it all out on display, and then I'll go crazy taking pictures.
That's cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. But, yeah, I was going to mention, too, I came under a realization earlier this year where for a while, I'd say about 10 years ago, I started slowly getting back into collecting sports cards, mostly football, but at the time a lot of baseball, too, because there were some, like, retro-ish sets that I thought were pretty neat.
Sure.
But I kind of fell off maybe like 5 years ago because I just didn't like how, even though they were like budget friendly sets, it seemed like a lot of the focus was more on the super premium and super I don't want to say luxury, but like, say, so you had like, when we were growing up, you had your boxes of cards where it came with either 24 or 36 packs.
Right.
And each pack came with like 10 cards. And then you had the release of like, you know, the gimmicky inserts and stuff. And then eventually the autograph cards, and then, you know, like the jersey cards, which now they call relic cards. And then those were inserted at a pretty limited rate. And then eventually they became so commonplace that you would get at least one of each of those things, one per box. And there was like there was a segment of sports collectors where they don't care for the rest of the cards, you know, like for set building, they call them filler. So card companies, now it's just Topps and Panini, I believe. Topps only does, well, out of the major sports, I think Topps only does baseball. Panini does basketball and football, I believe. Unless it's changed recently, but
sure.
Yeah. So they still release boxes of cards, but those are considered more like the budget cards. But now if you just want to go for the hits, like the inserts, they release boxes where it's just a one pack box, and you'll have maybe three or four cards from, like, I guess the set, if you want to call it that nowadays. But the focus now more is now on like the inserts, like the autographs. You know, jersey cards, or the combination of autographed jersey cards. Which is what
killed it really killed the hobby, because that was the start of it, because of the, then everything was graded, you know.
Yeah, well, they still have graded stuff, but that's more, I think the focus on that has shifted more to like more investment type cards, where before it used to be, oh, I gotta grade everything, but now it's more stupid. Like, okay, I know this card is going to be worth something later on, so let me... It's kind of like slabbing a really old comic. Like, if you have, like, sure, say, I don't know, whatever vintage comic it is, you just grade it so you can preserve the...
Slapstick number one.
Right, that.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, number one.
Yeah, only the finest of vintage comics.
And the last one I'll say is Fish Police, number one.
Anyway. You heard it here first, folks. Go grab your comics, Don't miss out on the FOMO, and there you go. Slab
just the mere mention of me with my personality and fame mentioning Fish Police number one will make that thing skyrocket. So get it slabbed while you can.
Yeah, we are the official speculation page of all the and not needed comp. So
yeah, the forgotten gems of the spinner rack.
Actually, the podcast is gonna be renamed to that.
I think that's already been taken.
Oh, is it?
I think so. I think there's a spinner rack floating around out there somewhere.
Yeah, man. So, So I'll finish what I was talking about. I had a bunch of. I hadn't bought like new cards in a while. I'll buy the occasional single card here and there, but not really like. New release boxes and stuff. It just got way too expensive because the range of those one pack boxes was just absurd, and the amount of money you would put in versus what you got back was just not worth it for me. So I stopped buying that stuff, and then I was going through like whatever inventory I had left, and some of the cards I had has been sitting in a box for like the past year or so. I rarely take them out to look at them, and they're not the kind that like would accrue in value later on anyway, like whatever they're worth at the time, that's it. And I was trying to put together this this jersey card set where it had like a really huge swatch of like, you know, either it was a jersey or a bat or whatever. And I just thought like the concept of it was cool because now you just have like little slivers no bigger than like your thumbnail. And meanwhile this was like 3/4 of the card surface. So, but I found out during research years ago that even if I had all the cards, the entire set was impossible because they were still unreleased cards that for some reason or another, they were never released.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like, you know, why bother even trying to collect this thing? So I just ended up selling most of the set other than like a few cards that I thought were kind of cool. And
right.
It's like, I don't need them anymore. It's just kind of like I enjoyed them when I had them. You know, the few people I did look at them, they're kind of like, oh, this is cool. All right, let's watch some TV. You know, it was really something that, you know, like, you know, as far as like toys go, you have like, you know, you can keep them in the box if you want to hoard them more. You take them out, you display them. If you want your kids to play with them, they can. It seems like there's way more. More bang for your buck, if you will, for you know, with toys versus sports cards and stuff. Because like,
my son's
cool.
Got all the Irwin toys, Dragon Ball stuff that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stuff from like the late 90s. Yeah, he's got all that.
Oh, so there you go. When you get tired of them, you could always pass them off to a kid, and it's like something completely brand new to them, which is great. Like it seems like there's. I don't know if it's reactionary.
He's
going to
get all my collection anyway after I'm gone. So,
mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I just figure maybe just my time of like buying like newer release type stuff is just gone. Like I'll probably buy like older boxes. I guess now they would be considered vintage because I usually gravitate more towards like football cards from like the late 90s because I think that's when we were both collecting them at the time, and I just kind of like.
Yeah,
gives
now,
me, like,
now they're
cool
worthless.
Memories.
They're like fireplace kindling, so it's fine.
Oh, exactly. You know what? It's funny because another reason why I like buying those boxes now is because back when we were collecting them, they were like
ridiculous.
Uber expensive.
Yeah.
Or we thought they were, and now I can buy like a whole lot of every box that we they're whatever price range and buy them for super cheap. And at a rare occasion, you can actually get like a really, really cool pull out of them. So
it's
but,
sad
yeah.
when you can go and get a factory box of like Bowman. You know, Bowman was like the premium, you know, the premium stuff, or like instead of Tops, it was Opeachy, you know,
and, or Canadian ones, yeah,
and those were worth some coin because they weren't they were more expensive. And I don't know the history on that, if it was print runs or whatever, but usually they would have the same picture of, it's the same exact card, but it would say Opeachy instead of Tops. And
it might be, now that I think of it, it may be either, could be either a licensing issue or regional thing. Because I know OPG was more Canada.
Oh, big time, yeah. Because I have a Chris Chelios rookie card. yes, I said Chris Chelios, everybody. For you 90s hockey fans, he was in the ace place. But yeah, that's that. I guess you'd call that slabbed, I guess. But it's in one of those protectors of four screws.
Oh, okay. I see.
So it's one of the, in the 90s.
Plexiglass brick. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like it's in one of those really, really hard plastic protectors. But yeah, I think probably what we'll do is we could probably do a whole episode on collecting cards from the olden days. And I'll tell you some stories about a lady with dirty fingernails eating out of the popcorn machine. Maybe we'll save that for the next episode. And we'll get into our tales punch of comic books and card collecting and some of the people that tried to bamboozle us in the day, huh? And I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think it's really important that we revisit our experience in the 90s with some of those comics that we collected that we really, really coveted, I guess, for lack of a better term, but they were out of our reach because we were kids and had no money.
And me being buried again by trading you that friggin' that palm collector for a bunch of comics.
I won't bury you for the pocket organizer.
You jerk.
I won't do that, man. That was just good. That was good. That was good wholesome American fare. Okay. Oh my god!
Yeah, when I heard that episode, I was like, "Oh my goodness!"
Oh yeah,
man,
you weren't on the show yet. That's right. You're grinding your teeth. You're gonna. As soon as I find him, I'm gonna slash the tires of his rental car. You just wait.
I'm gonna reorganize his face when I see him.
Yeah, I'm gonna make putty out of your face. Anyway, yeah. I think
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. So now that you're on the show now, I think that'd be cool to get your perspective. Oh man, it'd be so great. So that's what we're gonna do, folks. I might be guesting on another show. Won't say much about that. You'll know when it happens. But barring that, the next episode we're gonna jump into that. So remind me, Ponch, and that'd be a lot of fun. So I think we're gonna cut it off right there. Keep it under an hour so folks don't get too overwhelmed when they see a 3-hour episode, which is typical for the Case in Point podcast. thanks, Punch, for clearing your schedule. It's a lot of fun to do these. And stay positive, folks. Stay away from the negative BS. Stay off the news and social media, with the exception of this podcast and our affiliates. And yes. We don't really have any, but you know what I mean. that being said, check out McSauce Podcast. Hope this finds you well. Element of Surprise, a Fireside Chat. And I apologize if I don't remember some of the other shows. But just stay safe, stay positive, and stay healthy. And we'll catch you guys next time.